is here.
Bom dia lá. Bom sabbat. Bom sabbat, Eliata. Yeah, bon Dieu, bon nou opportunité ya pou nou te kapab la jodi ya. C'était un gros privilège pour nous être capables d'adorer ensemble jodi ya. En nous lever voix avec voix nous pour nous dire béni soit l'Éternel.
Béni soit l'Éternel.
Béni soit l'Éternel.
Béni soit l'Éternel.
Bon Dieu bon.
Or topic for consideration today is traumas, triggers, and triumph. Trauma, triggers, triumphs. Let's read a couple passages of scripture. Let's read a couple passages of scripture. I want to start today with Psalm 147 and verse 3. And the Bible says, He heals
the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds.
Isaiah 61 and verse 1. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord God is
upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor.
He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim to the captives,
and the opening of the prison to those who are bound.
Pause with me. Pause with me. Because somehow you seem to be distracted. So let me take off what may be distracting you. Let's go to Matthew 11, verses 26 or 28 to 30. And let's read it from the NLT version. Then Jesus said,
"Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens,
and I will give you
rest."
He says, "Take upon me my yoke and let me
teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart.
And I will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And then Romans 8 and verse 28 says,
"And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose."
Just before we pray, I want to ask some questions. Brianna, come here. Yes. JR, it's your birthday. Come here. It's your birthday. Come here. Give him a mic and take a mic, Brianna. Happy birthday, JR.
Thank you.
Did you enjoy the word of God as it was read?
Yes.
Yes.
What feeling came to you as we came to read this morning?
Relief.
Relief? Okay. What about you?
Joy.
Joy. Why did relief come and why did joy come?
The reason I said joy is because, you know, honestly, you know, getting a new word of God is refreshing. So, I mean,
okay. All right.
Because life can sometimes seem tough, and it's good to read things like this that reassure you that everything is going to be okay, because God said that it's going to be okay.
Okay. What about my voice? Was there anything different with my voice today?
It seemed rather high today. I'm joking. Okay.
And how do you feel just hearing the?
It definitely like triggered a chemical in my brain. Like, that doesn't sound like my pastor.
Okay, about you?
Like an off guard type of feeling.
Yeah, you were off guard. You were thrown off guard.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Another question. As you look at me, Brianda.
Yeah.
Do you observe anything different? What?
I think it's the tie.
Okay. All right. Do you observe anything different?
Yeah, I mean, usually your mic is on like the other side, but now it's here.
Okay. All right. Good. Thank you, guys. They never noticed. And I didn't tell them not to notice. They never noticed that I'm wearing a suit. They never noticed that I have two faces. While I ask God in song to draw me closer, I'm not sure who is it that I'm pulling him to. This side, or this one? Today, we are all masked. And Brianda, we don't even notice. Of course, you notice my tie. What did you notice, JR? My microphone. And as we look at each other today, we notice different physical appearances, but really don't know what's behind. Some of us have come before God and asking him to draw closer. And God is asking to who? We're all masked. Every one of us, behind the smiles and the polite greetings and carefully curated lives, are lies that goes deep in. Today, as we spend some time in the Word, as we look at how to have intentional relationships, I want to invite you to come to a place where you begin the healing process. Where you begin to unmask your own self and start looking sometimes at the two-faced person that every single one of us are. Won't you stand with me as we pray? Psalm 147 says he heals the brokenhearted. Isaiah 61 verse 1 says he bind up the brokenhearted. Matthew 11 tells us to come all he who are weary and heavy burdened. Romans 8 says, don't you know that all things works together for them who love the Lord. Father, we come and we're scared, terrified to make ourselves vulnerable. We're absolutely shaking in our boots at the fact that the person standing next to me could actually see who I really am. But you know me. You know each of us. You did say they look at the outward appearance, but I see the heart. So come now, Lord, as we begin this healing process for better relationships, speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I am going to go very deep today. Excuse me if I touch some corns and I elicit some triggers. Forgive me if I go to a place where you don't want anyone to go, but I'm going to place you in the hands of Jesus. Because for us to begin the healing process and for us to have good relationships, you see, sometimes I heard somebody say this week, I don't need anybody. All I need is Jesus. And I said, shut your lying mouth. You've heard it, right? I don't need them. I have Jesus. No, you don't. You think you do. My Bible tells me, how can you love him who you have not seen, but the one that you have seen, you hate? I need you, and you need me. But we can't have good relationship if we hide behind our pain, or fears, and even afraid to show our true selves. Because life has taught us that revealing what's beneath the mask can be dangerous, can be painful, or even isolating. But what are we hiding? Often we're hiding our trauma, which are moments in life that left us feeling broken, betrayed, and abandoned. And when those scars remain unhealed, they give rise to triggers, things that remind us of the pain, causing us to react and retreat and to lash out. Let's start unpacking this a little bit. What are traumas? Traumas are deeply distressing or disturbing experiences that leaves an emotional and psychological imprint. It's not just what happens to us, it's how it shapes us. It is through the lens that we presently see the world around us. Whether it's a loss of a loved one, a betrayal from a friend or family, whether it is some abuse that you endured or some rejection, trauma changes how we see ourselves, how we see others, and how we see God. Psychologists tell us that trauma often rewires the brain. The amygdala becomes hyperactive, constantly scanning for danger. The hippocampus, which processes memory, stores fragmented and vivid recollections of the event. And that's why even long after the event, we can still feel as if we're reliving it. That's trauma. So what are triggers? Triggers are reminders of that trauma. And some of us might say, you know, I have not been through any trauma. But you have been through experiences that have shaped your thinking, shaped your outlook, and shaped life in a negative lens. So, let me use my wife for an example. And I didn't tell her I was going to do this, but forgive me. If you're the first lady, you must expect anything. Right, church? That's wrong. My wife grew up with a family that she was the center of attention. Okay? Her father, her favorite fruit is jackfruit. And her father would sit, although he doesn't like jackfruit, he would pick out every peg and take out the seed and put it down, and then not only put it down, but feed her. Even as she's a big, grown, married woman, she would go home and sit on his lap, and he would feed her. So to the point that we are married, and the jackfruit is there, and she expects me to pick it, expect to sit in my lap, and expect me to... I'm not your daddy. The young people would say I am. You know, words evolve so much that it's absolutely terrible how the word daddy has become these days. But watch this now. Because she was shaped like this, she wouldn't look at it as a traumatic experience, but it's an experience that shapes who she is. And therefore, any sign of she not being the center of my attention causes problems. So the world around her lens is shaped from that experience. And I'm using that because someone may think, you know, I was never molested sexually, so I'm not in a traumatic experience, or I wasn't rejected and left and abandoned, so I'm not in a traumatic experience. But your upbringing and the experiences that you had, though sometimes good, like what was there, can shape how you see things. And at the act of anyone thinking that they cannot make her who she was grown to be, then it triggers her. The response become different. So triggers are things that are reminders of your trauma slash experiences. They can be sights, sounds, smells, emotions, or even a subtle situation. A trigger can come with me even reading the Bible. Because you remember the one that placed you in a traumatic experience was always reading the Bible. A trigger can come with me just reaching to greet you and shaking your hand. But you remember whoever messed with you was always. So the way you view things, the way you look at things, is constantly from that lens. And you try to keep away from anything that triggers you. Watch this, I'm going somewhere. So why do we mask? We mask because it feels safer to hide than to heal. And within our culture, majority West Indian, that have damaged or North American children because we brought them to North America and sent them to schools in North America and grew them in North America, but wanted that when they left where they spent majority of their time and come back home, they should be Caribbean. It no make no sense. And so we have those who mask because they fear judgment. They don't want to be vulnerable. Back in the West Indian culture, you don't let anybody know. Or I ate ackee and saltfish. I said, why are you telling anybody what you ate? And so we teach from they are younger because that's what we were taught. And so we come up hiding. And we learn how to hide our feelings. We know how to cover. We know how to. We believe that the lie that if people see what's behind the mask, they'll walk away from us. But church, let me remind you today that God already sees beneath the mask and he's not walking away. Amen. A matter of fact, God is inviting you to start the healing process. Today we'll learn to expect the reality of trauma, embrace the process of healing, and exceed by turning our pain into purpose. Let's look at the story of Joseph. Joseph, if you read the story, we don't have time to go through it today because we're going to leave out of here soon to go get some rest and come back at 10 p.m. tonight where we're going to agonize with God and start a process of healing. If we are going to have any true intentional relationship that means anything, we must start healing. If we are going to start to have that relationship with God, who we can now hear Him fully, now we can understand who He is, then we can know how to pray. And some of us think that just talking is praying. But that's just the first step. Prayer, Ellen White says, is the opening up. The opening up. When last have you opened up? In that closet. When last have you just sat with God and wept? When last have you said, God, I am not worthy of your love? Because look at who I am. When last have you heard Him say, I don't care who you are, I care who you will be. And so as we look at the story of Joseph, there are three things I want you to learn today. Three things and then I'm done. Three things. Expect it, embrace it, exceed it. What are those three things? Expect it, embrace it, exceed it. Let's go again. Embrace it. Good, 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 good. Come, let's go now. Expect it, embrace it, exceed it. Again, expect it,
embrace it, exceed it.
Joseph was placed in one of the most dramatic experiences that I can think of right now from the Bible. Joseph in Genesis 37, we read it right back to about 50 in Genesis. Joseph was loved by his father. His brothers envied that. And so the Bible tells us that they crafted a plan. And poor innocent Joseph just thought that his brothers were the best thing since sliced bread. And so he went to see them, and the coat that his father made for him, the brothers decided they're going to take the coat off, put him in a pit. Just imagine. Matter of fact, some of you are experiencing from your siblings some hurtful things even right now. That sometimes feel like you're being placed in a pit, left to dead. But here comes Joseph, and he's sold into slavery, goes into slavery, and they lie on him again, and he's in prison, and he's... The works happen. Now, Joseph's journey begins with this trauma. And in Genesis 37, we see Joseph's world collapse when his own flesh and blood betrayed him. They strip him, they place him in the pit, and sell him into slavery. Joseph's reality shifted from being cherished to being cast away. To heal, the first thing you need to do in healing is to expect that the experiences and the trauma is part of living in a broken world. John 16:33 reminds us. It says, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. The reality is that some of us, when we are going through certain things, we come with, oh my goodness, how could this happen to me? Where is God? And where is my God that I am going through this right now? But I'm saying the first point in healing is to expect it. Take up your cross, he says, and follow Jesus. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. Trouble will come. Trouble will fall at your door. Traumatic experiences will come. Expect it. Expect that in this broken world, somebody's gonna hurt you. Somebody's gonna do something to you that's gonna make you feel as if you are so angered you could kill them. Some of you don't tell me that, oh, Pastor, kill? No, I wouldn't. You know what that is? I don't know about you, but let me be vulnerable to you. Sometimes, Kevon, I'm driving, and some knucklehead does something, and I feel like... But then Donnet says, that could be one of your Eliatha members. So in this world, we ought to expect that troubles will come. And two, recognizing the presence of pain is not weakness. I do this from time to time. Somebody will pass and they'll say, how are you? And I go, I'm not good. And I say, okay, well, yes, and you know, I just wanted to say this to you. We're so programmed. So, and I've done it to several of you here. Several of you. And you do it too. And I do it too. Because we're so programmed to say, how are you? I'm okay. What that is... recognizing the presence of pain is not weakness. And too many times we think that if I only... let Sammy know that my foot is hurting, he's going to see me less than a man. It's the first step to healing. Like Joseph, we must acknowledge our wounds without letting them define us. Yes! I've been through some troubles. Yes, I've been through some terrible days. Yes, I've done some things I'm not proud of. Yes, they have done some things to me that I'm not proud of. But I'm not gonna let what the devil did and what the devil says define how I see me. For I'm a friend of God. He calls me friend. You see, if we're going to expect it, we got to know there must be a framework in which we are building this from. And the framework is found at the beginning in Genesis, where it says, let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness. You see, trauma and triggers came when our foreparents did not accept the image of God and did their own thing. And so they experienced a traumatic separation. And that separation has been causing pain and misery ever since. You don't tell me I don't need anybody, even you all introverts. It's a lie. Because we are wired for relationships. And we are wired for healthy relationships. And the issue, we are not having healthy relationships with our parents, with our siblings, with our children, is because we don't understand what it is to first expect it and then to embrace it. Watch this. To embrace is to face the triggers and start the process of healing. Years later, Joseph faced one of the greatest triggers of his life. In Genesis 42, his brothers came to Egypt seeking food during a famine. Imagine the flood of emotions. Listen, I am no ordinary person. I am second in charge. The only one greater than me. And watch this. You, after I did absolutely nothing to you, and you left me, and I've gone through some experiences, and God has carried me through the cloud of emotions Joseph must have felt, the sight of the very people who sold him into slavery could have led to bitterness, anger, revenge, vengeance, but instead Joseph chose to embrace the moment. Ah! I wish somebody would learn to love the things you wish never happened to you. You didn't hear what I just said. Start appreciating the things that you wish never happened to you. I think I've shared this already with you, but let me share it again. Just to bring the point home to you. I'm the last of 6 children. I am 6 years younger than the brother that I follow. I was not to be. Buck ups. But my father would say otherwise. He would say that I know where I was shooting. So as I was growing up, Sharon, my siblings, who were all 2 years apart, clinged together. They would play together. They would go out together. And I'm always left at home. And so I felt a deep sense of rejection and abandonment. And I couldn't understand what this was about. So when they were around, I kept doing things with them, doing things for them, doing things just for them to say, I want to be a part of you. So you ask today, where's Sushin? Sushin not here? Donnelly, you ask today, why is it when I play numbers? But it's not only in numbers, it's in life in general. Watch this. Because of my yearning to win, to be a part of, my yearning to always be there and to be seen. I will not stop because of that experience of me wanting them to. No, watch this. They didn't do anything wrong. Probably if I was whatever, me no want no little boy come in when I'm. You understand what I'm trying to say? But the experience I've created. Now, not until I embraced that and accepted that and put it in the right context and understand that I will damage myself if I keep chasing, but I will not lose the fight in me to keep winning, because that will help me, it will help my family, it will help my church, it will help this world. So that fight that God allowed to be in me, I use it for the good, but I could also use that for the bad. So we need to start learning how to love the things we wish never happened to us. You see that? It could be another way. Nope, I thought that was the worst thing. But I have, thank God for the opportunity, Kevon, to have that experience that now puts a winning fight in me to challenge any Goliath, to bring me to Eliatha. And no matter what, you know, some folks said, When we spoke about the devotional last year, some folks said, devotional, that's not going to happen. Sharon, they said, it's not. And even when it came to a point where Sharon looked at it and Sharon said, Pastor, probably we should just do half a year because they're not coming. And I said, Sharon, no! Even if I have to write every single one of them, we're having a devotional for the Eliatha Seventh-day Adventist Church. So you see how that winning fighting in me, that God has used it now for the good. But that could not happen until I have learned to embrace and love the things that I wish never happened to me. Embracing healing means allowing God to work through the triggers. Clinical research shows that processing pain rather than avoiding it leads to greater emotional resilience. What does that mean? It means stop running away from your pain. Stop avoiding it. Some of us are avoiding some conversations that we need to have. I don't want to talk to him. I don't want to talk to her. You know why? Because of the emotional pain and hurt that it elicits. But what is happening is that you are not embracing it. As you start embracing it, the healing will happen. Joseph tested his brothers, not out of cruelty, but to see if they had changed. Similarly, we must confront the wounds of our past and seek God's guidance as we process our emotions. Psalms 34:18 assures us that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. God doesn't abandon us in the midst of our triggers. He invites us to bring our pain to him, trusting that he will bring clarity and comfort to our hearts. Stop putting it under the rug. Stop putting it behind. Stop leaving it somewhere and deal with it head on. Some of you might need more than me. Your pastor probably can't help you to walk through it. Some of you may need a psychotherapist to work through it, and that's okay. But our lives, our relationships, and our spiritual walk will continuously be crippled if we don't put things in the right box that they need to be in. I hate what I've been through, God. It pains me. I don't want to deal with it again, so I keep running. And if the pastor says anything that triggers you, and if your spouse says something that triggers you, that's why there are so many divorces in the church. And if a church member says something that triggers you, and you keep running and running and running, but one day you're going to be out of breath. And you're going to crash. So if we're going to have real relationships and we're going to get close to God through prayer, or my final thought, we must exceed it. So we are going to expect it, embrace it, and then what? Exceed it. Joseph's story culminates in one of the most powerful declarations of triumph in Scripture. In Genesis 50, verse 20, he tells his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Joseph was not only to forgive his brothers, but also use his position to provide for them and countless others. Some of us are in our Joseph experiences. But the difference between Joseph and us is that we are not expecting anything to happen to us. And that's okay. No, you know, I give glory and honor for the jackfruit loving woman that I have. Because because of where I'm coming from, because of my own experience, the process, Candace, I don't want to walk the process. I want to get to my destination. I don't want to journey. Because the journey is too much. I just want to achieve what I want to achieve. But every now and then she pulls me back. And she says, enjoy the moment. We need to enjoy the moment. And understand that though trouble come, he has overcome the world. I don't need to run ahead of him. I don't need to run to the end. He says that the end will come. To exceed it, we got to see what we have gone through according to Romans 8. For all things, not some things, but all things work together for good. The text didn't say all things was good. It says all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. God created us in his image. Start looking as you're having relationships, start looking for the image of God, not only in yourself, but each person around you. Watch the difference that happens. You are God's creation, beautifully and wonderfully made. But I see your trauma. I see your triggers. But I'm not going to focus on that. I'm going to focus on the beauty of the image of God in you. When we start looking at the image of God that God has created in us, we will start seeing how to exceed the things that are easily besetting us. The image of God in each other, we will start seeing the beauty in each person. To exceed is to rise above our pain and walk in God's purpose for our lives. Forgiveness is a critical step. I wish I had time, but I don't. But we're going to touch it on its own. Start with forgiving yourself. Start with forgiving yourself. No, we have messed up the text. Deny yourself and follow Jesus. That some of us, Kevon, can't. Kevon, you did a good job. Oh, yes, all glory to God. It's not me. I saw Kevin Morgan. Of course, ultimately, it's the God in you that embraced what you did and gave you the courage and the vigor and the intelligence to do it. Of course, but it's you. Denying yourself doesn't mean putting yourself down. And that's what we have done so many times. We put ourselves down. We walk upon ourselves. That's not what God is expecting of us. God is expecting of us to shine him through us. And though ultimately all glory belongs to God, when you say thank you for something, I'm going to say you are welcome. Because it's God who has given me the gift. It is God who has given me the talent. The difference is when I take all the glory and none goes to God. And so we damage ourselves, we damage those in the church because we trample on ourselves and don't realize we are no ordinary creatures, made just a little lower than the angels. I am no ordinary person. A son of the living God. And when I start understanding what that means, I start walking. I was watching the news, and I saw Baron Trump walking. And I said, boy, the boy understands who he is. The son of Donald Trump. Are you getting the picture? When we start understanding who we are in the image and likeness of the divine, and when we start realizing that humanity can actually touch divinity, we start looking at things different, and that begins a healing process. It's not about exercising the wrong, but releasing ourselves from the grip of bitterness. In closing, Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 encourage us, get rid of bitterness. Be kind and compassionate one to another. But how can we be kind and compassionate to somebody else and we're not being kind and compassionate to ourselves? I don't know who you are or what experience you have had in life, but I want you to know today that is not who you are. What you have been through is not the sum total of who you are. Your emotional pain and your psychological messed up mind is not who you are. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are so loved that he left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny. And the servant of God says, if it was you alone, Trevor, if it was you alone, he would have done the same, and he would have come to save just you. If I have a God who is almighty, he spoke this universe into being, and he says, you are my child. Not only does he say I'm his child, he says that I am his friend. Ooh. Do you know a friend that sticketh closer than a brother? A friend that you can pour out to? A relationship that you can have without judgment? That is God. I know I've touched some emotions. And I've touched some pain. But let's start the healing. Be kind and compassionate, the Bible says, one to another. You know why? I don't know what Sharon is going through. I don't know what Brother Keen is going through. I don't know what Sister Meg is going through. I don't know what Candace is going through. And so when I say something to her and she reacts in a way that is not becoming, have grace, be kind, be compassionate. The same God who is kind to you and compassionate to you wants you to do the same for your brothers and sisters. How many times have we hurt him? How many times? Yet, like Joseph, our pain can be the platform. Listen to this. I was going to say to put it on TikTok, but TikTok is gone. Like Joseph, our pain can be the platform for God's glory. Whether it's mentoring others, sharing your testimony, or building relationship. God uses our scars to bring healing. Listen to this profound thought here. I find it profound. Healing is not becoming the best version of yourself. Hold on. You ready to praise Brianda? Listen to this. Healing is not becoming the best version of yourself. It's letting the worst version of yourself be loved. It's not the best version of yourself. It's letting the worst version of you be loved. And that's why God created his church. Mind blowing. If I can know you and see the worst of you and still love you, whoa! But instead, watch this. Can you see me? Yes, some can. Can you see me? But this is what we do in the church. We come and nobody really sees. And sometimes we come over here and we show a little. But as we show a little, you hear, how come you're in church? Why are you behaving like that? And we jump back over here. We come and we really want to. That's why the Bible says, confess your sins one to another. The church of God ought to be a place where I can come and you can see me as me, because that's the place where healing happens. Without judgment. You're not at the same place I'm at. Come here. Young man, come here. I'm not going to ask you to say anything. Just come. Come here, Chris. We need to wrap this up. Come here. What's your name? Cleon? Clay. Stand over here, Clay. Come over here. Stand up there. Right here. You're watching me? Watch Jesus, man.
Hallelujah.
Listen, watch this now. We are all not on the same level. Amen. As short as I look, he's shorter than I am. And watch this. He is shorter than him. And he might have a little head that's bigger than mine. But as we are journeying to the kingdom of God, we got to understand that some of us are doubting Thomas. Some of us are cussing Peter. Some of us are Mary Magdalene, coming from a place where only God understands. But let's express grace and mercy, because we are not at the same level. Thank you. Just like the stray sheep, we don't need to fix ourselves to be loved by God. So what's your challenge this week? Last time I gave you a challenge to find somebody and just exchange numbers, and you see some of our triggers. That was a trigger for some of us. Believe you me, my number? You know what happened the last person I gave my number? Trigger. That's okay. Some of you did it, some didn't. But this is your challenge for this week.
until next week, and I'll be in the pulpit next week. Reflect on a moment when someone loved you in your brokenness. And if you can't find anybody earthly that have loved you in your brokenness, ask yourself, who are they that are surrounding me? Because sometimes we surround ourselves with the wrong people. And instead of finding love, we find more trauma. So this week, identify somebody that's loved you. Then I want you to identify somebody that you know is struggling. It could be a friend, it could be a child, it could be a sibling, it could be a whoever. And choose to love them without judgment. Some of you need to call somebody and say, listen, I was judging you. But you know, we discuss traumas, triggers, and triumphs. And I want to start the healing. So I just want to love you. I just want to love you for who you are. With no condemnation. No, watch this. Who they are doesn't necessarily mean who you want to be or who they should be. But that's not your place. Your place is to love them. Love them. Love them into the kingdom of God. Watch this. Watch this. Let me give you a run before I leave. Let me give you a run. Job. Job trauma. He lost children, wealth, and health. And his trigger was his friends accusing him of wrongdoing. But Job stood on the concept of expecting it, embracing it, and he exceeded it by saying, I know that my Redeemer lives, and he will stand with me in the appropriate time. Joseph, his trauma was betrayal by his family, an unjust imprisonment. His trigger was encountering his family during the famine, but he embraced it. He exceeded it by saying, you intended evil of me, but God meant it for good. Anna, infertile and ridiculed by who was her matey. Ridiculed by Penina. Triggered by the annual worship service. Because she had to go to worship and then come and hear them whispering. Triggered by the annual worship service. But she says in 1 Samuel 1:2, she said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. Naomi and Ruth, Naomi. The trauma of bereavement and displacement. Lost her husband and sons. Triggered by returning to Bethlehem and being called Mara. But she said, my God will stand with me. In Ruth 4:14, that she found restoration and declared God's blessing. What about David? Trauma, pursued and threatened by Saul. Triggered by the repeat attempts to execute him. But then in 1 Samuel 18, he says, the Lord is near the broken hearted. What about Elijah? Trauma, exhaustion, and fear for his life. But in 1 Kings, where Jezebel was his trigger and threatened him, he said, "The journey is too much for me, but my God shall deliver." Jeremiah, isolation and persecution for his prophetic message, triggered by being physically mistreated and rejected by people. But in Jeremiah 20, verse 11, he says, "The Lord is with me like a mighty warrior." Don't somebody know today that the Lord is with us like a mighty warrior? Let me give you a few more. Mary Magdalene, by the visiting the empty tomb and recalling his crucifixion. But in John 20, she says, "I have seen the Lord." Have you ever seen the Lord? Paul, in 2 Corinthians, says, trauma, physical persecution and imprisonment, triggered by the ongoing challenges in ministry and personal weakness. But as Paul went to God and he said, "God, this is too much for me. Take it away. I can't bear it no more." He heard God said that in your weakness, I shall be your strength. Paul heard that my grace is sufficient for you. In your weakness, I will stand with you. But hold on. I can't close without telling you about one more. His name was Jesus. Jesus. He came and he gave all he had, and they rejected him. They abandoned him. They spat on his face. They placed him on a cross. They hung him high and wide. And he stood there and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Well, that same Jesus today is saying to you, let not your heart be troubled. He believed in God, believe also in me. He is saying, take off the ugly mask. I don't care what they say about you. I just care what I say about you. He says that you are his friend. He says, hold on, my brother. Hold on, my sister. He says, joy, it cometh in the morning. Though you may be going through it, God says, I am your friend.
We often fall.
We need some covering today. We're gonna start the experience of tonight from now. So if you think you need prayer, come. Not only come just to the front, but come, press. And if you can't come as close, hold on to somebody that's come. We're gonna have a chain prayer. Come right up. Sing the song.
Sing, are we weak?
Come right up. Come right up.
Are we weak and heavy laden? Cumbered with love.
Make sure you're touching somebody.
Permit the Lord of care.
Make sure you're touching somebody.
Precious Savior.
Those of you who can come, just surround and come.
Still
just come to the front.
To the Lord in prayer.
I want as many persons as possible at the altar.
Do your friends despise or say?
Take it to the Lord.
Take it to the Lord. The Lord in prayer.
Oh.
In his arms he'll take and shoot. In his arms he'll take and
still space up here. Just press closer to me. Press closer to me. Let people come. I don't want persons to be at the back and feel like they're too far. So just press. Just press. There's space up here. Come on. Let's press together. Let's press together. There is space. Come. Let's press together. Press together. Press together. Press together as we sing. Press together. Press together. Press together. Press together. Press together. Come on, Brianda. I still need you to press. You're not pressing. You're not pressing. Somebody need deliverance today. You're not pressing. I don't want persons down. Both of you are at the front here. Step up. Move out of somebody's way if you don't want to come. But somebody needs their blessing today. Come, Sister Carty. Move them out of your way. Come, sister.
Take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the
Make sure that you're touching somebody. Make sure you're touching somebody. Feel the healing coming on.
Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Take it to the Lord.
Take it to the Lord in prayer.
Without music now, without music, without music. What a friend we have in Jesus. Come, Sister Brianda. Without music.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
Oh, let the voices be heard.
All our sins and griefs to bear.
Oh, yes.
What a privilege to carry.
Yes, Lord. Everything.
Everything to God in prayer.
Do we, do we, do we.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, what peace we often forfeit.
All because we don't.
Oh, what needless pain we bear.
Oh, yes.
All because
We're praying now. We're praying. We're praying. We're praying. We're praying. There's some healing that's coming to some hearts even now. As the tears flow down your face, as you reflect upon your own life and the mercy that God has shown unto you, as you come with burdens and yet thanksgiving, as you come not knowing what to do, as you come with your emotions all messed up, you don't worry, the healing has begun.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name.
Our friend and our Father. We come with our heaviness. Huh. I feel the pain and the burden right now of this congregation. As they reflected today, oh God, on the traumas that they have been through. As they reflected today, oh God, on the things that have triggered them, and some didn't even realize until after today. Why do I behave like this? Why do I get so easily angered? Why did I treat my children this way? Why am I treating my parents this way? Why do I push away people that try to come near unto me? Why do I have no friends? Why is it that I am who I am? But God, thank you, no? Thank you that we can place that in the right context. Because who are we? We are not any ordinary people. Lord, the other universe, other planets look upon us in awe. How could a God who created so much, love so much, and went and is still here? Ah, you are here. We feel your presence. So now, Lord, I give you your people. I give you those hearts. I give you those burdens. Look at that mother crying for her child, God. What a burden. She has done all that she can, and he's still suffering. God, touch her. Look at the relationships that are broken among us. Look at the relationship that is broken with you. What mess we have found ourselves in. But you are the best clean of any mess. So while the devil was laughing, oh God, you were working cleaning it up. So now in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, with all power, yes, and majesty, yes, I give you thanks, God. Come now, O God, and move among this crowd. Come now, God, as we touch somebody. Come now, God, and touch us. Come now, God, and start the healing process. God, the older generation has done a good job of teaching us how to be hypocrites. Forgive us. They did only what they knew best and thought it was best. Forgive them. The younger generation has done a terrible job at learning and growing. Forgive them, Lord. And so now, Lord, I pray for our young people. I pray that you will put your hand around them. Oh God, as I watch the praise team today, I see how they have grown. I see how they are going. But God, the devil has a stronghold. But now I pray that you will break every chain. Break it, oh God. May our example not be something that hold them down. But Lord, I pray that as you release us as adults, you will release them as children.
Thank you, Jesus. Freedom. Thank you.
Nothing in our hands we bring today, but simply to the whole rugged cross we come clinging, understanding that we're all on the same path at the cross. So God, as we go into this time of rest and we come to the upper room tonight, start the healing now. Because tonight, oh God, we want some breakthrough that we have never seen before. You see, tonight, oh God, I need you to trample upon demons. I need you to ring and stamp upon every serpent head. I need tonight financial breakthrough. I need physical healing. I need emotional healing. I need to see you come, and I need you to rescue some people tonight. But for that to happen, we need to be in the position. So right now, God, start the healing process. Listen, you said if we come to you, you know. You said all we have to do is ask. And you said we will do greater works than you did. Whoa. You mean I can heal? You mean I can deliver greater work than you? So tonight we are trusting you for it. Anything we ask in your name, your word said, you will grant. So now, in the name of Jesus, the God of heaven and of earth, the Holy Spirit, we come now and thank you. What a friend we have in you. All our sins and griefs to bear. Draw close to us now. Renew our hearts. Father, I feel the heaviness slowly moving. What a joy it is, leaning on the everlasting arms. Blessed assurance.
Jesus,
you are mine. Oh, what a foretaste
of glory divine.
Oh, heir of salvation. Purchase! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So now, Lord, there are visitors here that know not what we do, but touch their hearts. They may not understand everything, but touch their hearts. They may not grasp everything, but touch their hearts. They may see this just as a ritual, but touch their hearts. And as you transform their hearts, may their minds be renewed. And may your power be felt in their lives. Thank you for breaking chains. Thank you for healing. Thank you for your promise. Thank you for being with us. as we leave today, may we leave God says to leave in quiet. No music playing, no singing, leave in quiet. As we leave in the stillness now, God, certainly we can hear you in the noise, but we can also hear you in the stillness. To work upon the heart now and prepare us for tonight. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Let now the words of our mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen and amen. Those of you who have been watching online, we thank you for being here with us. God wants to do something in your life as well. We won't be streaming on YouTube or on Facebook tonight, but there is a link if you want to be a part of it. Just send a message in whatever chat you are watching on tonight and somebody will be with you. God wants to do something in your life as well. God has something special for you. Thank you for being here with us. And thank you for allowing the power of the Holy Spirit to come and to renew you. May God bless you. May God keep you. And may his face shine upon you. God bless you.